You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Late Night Drive. My name is Ellie Schnitt.
And I'm Michaela Oakland.
And we're just ecstatic to have you here in our car today. You know what? Yes. I was thinking today, Michaela?
What were you thinking today, Ellie?
So we have a new sort of like segment thing that we're going to be doing on our bonus episode this week. And I was thinking how often for two girls who like do not care about automobiles at all, like how often we have to come up with car puns.
We've already done them all. When we're sitting there trying to think of something, I'm like, seatbelt? No. Rearview mirror? No.
How many parts of a car are they? At one point, we're just going to be like, the wheels on the car go round and round.
And you know, there actually is something to that.
There's something there.
There is something in there. The wheels on the bus go round and round. And that's like a moment where, you know, we thought it was over, but we're so back.
And you know what? I want to say, that's how I'm feeling this week.
Is it?
Thought it was over. I'm so back. Dude, I don't know if it's the extra hour of daylight. I don't know if it's just been a little warmer. Yeah. I don't know what changed because it's too early for my SSRI to have kicked in. So,
but the wheels on the bus are going round and round.
Round and round. So back. Dude, I literally wrote in my journal because I'm journaling now.
Of course.
I wrote in my journal on Friday. I was like, I don't know. Hold on. I wrote in my journal this weekend that I was like, I feel like this coming week is going to be the first week of the rest of my life.
Stop.
Like, I'm just getting those vibes. And then I woke up today and I was like, I'm not sad today. And like, I just feel very hopeful. And like, could it be the daylight? Could be.
It could be. And I think that I'm getting that as well. Like the fact that now the sun sets at 7 p.m., I can't tell you enough how huge that is for me. And like, I would love to not lose an hour of the day, of course. I don't love that part.
Don't love that.
If they just didn't do... What was it that we had this time? Daylight savings. So what's the other one? I want them to keep this one, but get rid of the other one. You know, like stay on this.
I like the other one.
but that's when the sun sets at 4 p.m.
I know, but I like when you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, it's actually only 9 o'clock. I know that it's like actually worse because of the daylight thing. Like this is better, but like I just hate the 1 hour thing. They should just stop doing it.
But that's only a positive for one day, and then you have months of retribution because of it. Like, yeah, it's a nice thing that one day you get an extra hour, but then you're like depressed for many months.
Also, when I was a bartender and a waitress and we worked until like 3 in the morning, it was the worst day to work because it would be 3 o'clock and you're like, all right, bars are closing, and then the clocks would go back and you had to work another hour. I was like, this is evil.
I can't remember if we actually got like paid for the extra hour or not.
We didn't.
I'm pretty sure we didn't.
Which is like, okay.
I don't think they counted it because it's just like 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. on the schedule or whatever. And they're not like, but it was, they don't care. They don't care about that.
They did not care. And the customers did not care. I did not get extra tips for that.
Although I will say the hourly fee was not the majority of the money I made anyway. So
certainly not. Anyways, I do feel like the wheels on the bus are going round and round. There's a new moon in Pisces. New moon has a lot of very like fresh energy. And I will say, because I am apparently still in my astrology girl era, whatever, we're being normal about it. if you, whatever your rising sign is, I don't know what your rising sign is.
Cancer.
Okay. Slay. I did not know that. Whatever your rising sign is, whatever house your rising sign is, so like whatever house Cancer's in on your whatever thing, that's the way that that's what this moon is supposed to affect. So I'm a Gemini rising and it's in like the 10th house or whatever. So it's affecting my career. And I'm loving that.
Yeah. Would love for my career to be affected by the sun. You know what I think actually?
Love for you. This month.
Maybe I could find love. I'm trying a little bit. You know what I think actually is causing the wheels on the bus to go round and round again, and what's making spring come? I think it's Ariana Grande's new album. That's what I think it is. I think it's changed the world. I think everything is different because of it. I think there are new sprouts in plants because of it. I think I'm forever changed. I think I'm starting over. It's healed things in me. I don't know what I healed from, but it healed something. There was something that wasn't healed and now it is.
Wow.
Did you like the album?
I don't want to shit in your cornflakes. I liked it.
Okay.
I had fun with it. I would play it while getting ready, but that's kind of how I feel about Ariana Grande in general. Like, I enjoy, like, her vibe.
Oh my God, I listen to you talk about Taylor Swift every single day, and the one time Ariana comes out with an album and I ask you to talk about it, you're negative.
I'm not being negative.
It's interesting. It's fine.
I like it. It's just, like, it's not really my, like, thing, you know? Like,
oh my God, okay. Well, if that's how we're being, then I'm about to start getting way more bitchy in other conversations, if that's how we're going
to
be.
You're completely allowed to be bitchy about Taylor, but it's in a really interesting album. I think she's a really interesting artist.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you exactly what my issue was with it. Honest to God, this was my issue with it. I don't think... She has done really interesting things before. Like, Sweetener was, like, so cool and different. Thank You Next, also really, like, different for her. And I just don't know if this was anything
this
that
was
I've
so
never
different.
Heard from her.
Are you kidding me?
I think it's, like, the same beats. Like,
oh, my
you know,
God. No, it was sonically
heard,
so different. The melodies were, like, very surprising in it.
Hmm.
I'm really shocked you're saying that.
That's
so not true.
That you're saying that because I really did not feel like it was anything like fresh. Good. But like I wasn't like, whoa, I've never heard that before.
I've thought, whoa, I've never heard that before multiple times listening to that album.
Whoa. What songs?
A lot of them.
Like, which ones? So I can go back and re-listen with a fresh mind.
I'll point out the spots to you, but now that I've listened to them 500 times, I don't feel like, oh, this is a new melody anymore. But the first three listen-throughs, I was like, oh, that's really surprising the way she went with that. Like, that harmony is really surprising. She's, like, an incredible, like, vocal pattern, like, sound engine. I don't know what the word is for it. But, like, the way she, like, she could conduct symphonies in a way that none of the other girlies could, let me tell you that much. She's a producer.
She's a production vocal mixer, on this, right?
Yeah, and the writing. All of the
That's
writing.
Really good.
Except for like three songs, there was a co-person, but they have to like credit the producers on it too. But she produced most of it too. And other people can't say that they can do all those things.
A lot of people do not produce their own. And most of the girlies do not.
But I thought it was really cool. It was so her. It was so original. She put so much of her into it. Like, there are references to other things that she's done, but not sonically. Mm. It's like parallels in lyrics, but like different. Mm. Whatever. Ugh, that's really disappointing to
I'm
hear from
sorry.
You.
Sorry, I didn't want to give
that
you that
really
dragged
answer.
Me down. I really, really wanted to love it so that we could talk about it and like be excited about it. It just like,
it just I think really you're one of the only thing. People who didn't love it. I haven't seen anybody else like say a single thing except this was amazing on my timeline.
On your timeline? Because you follow Ariana Grande stans.
I don't follow any Ariana Grande. I don't even... Mm. Ariana Grande's not even on Twitter. I don't follow anything Ariana related.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. You're going to have to do all of the segues now because I'm too angry.
I really, really actually did not want to say that at all to you. I like really could have pretended, but I also didn't want to lie to you. But maybe I just need another listen.
Well, you're
through.
Allowed to not love it, but you straight that's just not true to
I,
say that it's like done been it. Done before.
from her. Like, I didn't feel like it was something fresh from her.
She only yud once.
I like her yuz. I kind of miss the yuz. Maybe I do. I will say it's like a really good getting ready album, a really good flirty little walk album for sure, too. She looked very beautiful at the Oscars, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the Oscars?
I did. I went to an Oscars watch party.
And how did you feel about it?
It was fun. It was great. I had a great time.
I do think Ariana Grande's dress looked a little bit like a loofah, but she still looked beautiful.
Because it's supposed to be a reference to Glinda, like she's in a bubble.
I know, but it still looked like a
loofah.
You're
such a bitch.
It's a cute loofah, but it's a loofah.
Why are you going on like this when you know I'm already upset? I'm an Ariana Grande stan, and we haven't gotten content in 4 years, and this is what you're doing to me.
Would you rather I lied to you?
You don't have to say, I thought she looked like a loofah. I didn't even bring up her being there. You brought that up. You don't have to say mean things. You already had transition to the Oscars.
I just wanted to say that's what I thought her dress looked like. I said she looked very beautiful. I don't know why you're disregarding that part.
She looks really beautiful, but she looks like a loofah. It's not a compliment.
Her dress looked like a loofah.
Okay.
She was not giving loofah.
Okay.
The dress just looked like a loofah, but whatever. So that was fun. I was a little, I guess I wasn't like surprised that Emma Stone won Best Actress. I feel like there were a lot of hints leading up to it that she was going to win Best Actress. But I don't know. I was a little disappointed. I would have liked to see Lily Gladstone win that award.
Yeah, the thing is, I didn't see either of those movies yet. So I saw the reactions. All I know is that whenever somebody wins an award that like everyone else thinks the other person deserved more, it like really can affect their career. It reminds me of like that year that Billie Eilish won a Grammy, and like the first thing she said was, "I'm so sorry, Ariana deserved this," because she was like scared that people were gonna come for her.
Oh my god. Or Adele did that too with Beyonce.
Yeah, and I think like that's what happened with Macklemore, and there was like another there was another Oscars situation a while ago. But yeah, it's very interesting because it's like that actor or singer didn't choose to win. But now people are like, they're not that good. Fuck that actor. They weren't that great anyway.
And people love Emma Stone, which I understand. I think she's adorable. And her speech was really cute. She just cried, which like,
yeah,
I get. I would totally be up there sobbing. It wasn't. And also, I liked this year's Oscars because they did not really drag it out. It was zippy. It was, they got through that shit. Normally it's like, oh my God, there's still another fucking half hour left. How are we doing this? That's usually my main complaint with award shows, is like they go on too long. But I thought this one was really lovely. I think that Jimmy Kimmel did a pretty good job.
I thought that the first couple, what was it, like the first 10 minutes of the show, the presenters and the jokes weren't that funny. And I was like, oh no. And then the rest of it was really funny. So I was surprised because I was ready to be disappointed. Because the first joke I saw was Melissa McCarthy and Octavia Spencer presenting. It was very awkward. I don't know if you saw that one.
It was very awkward. I did see that one.
And that was when I tweeted, like, watching the Oscars, I'm just thinking how crazy it is that so many funny people are unemployed. Because I was like, there's so many people who could be giving you a good joke, but they have no job, unfortunately. But then after that, I thought it was funny. I honestly thought the John Cena bit was funny. I thought
that was very funny. I was actually laughing. I was like, damn, they fucking, that was good.
Did you see that one guy on Twitter who like posted that, and he said, this is part of the humiliation ritual, like look what they're doing to us or something?
Like it's like an Illuminati thing.
Like they're just humiliating masculine men or something. And then someone else was like,
I love that.
He did wrestling. Like he did performance wrestling. You can't humiliate that man.
Also, he looked good.
He did look good. It was a funny joke.
It's not like his body was like gross. Like it was like, good for you, John Cena. Keeping it tight, you know?
Billie Eilish's performance was beautiful. I loved everyone's reactions.
Billie Eilish's... I literally was sitting in the kitchen crying, like goosebumps. It was so beautiful. That's a really beautiful song.
There was one girl who was at the party. I don't know. She made a comment that was like, why does she keep performing only that song at all these things lately? And someone else was like, well, because it's nominated for all the awards. And they were like, yeah, but she just did that at multiple events. Can't she do a different one? I was like, okay.
She can't, actually. What did you think of Ryan Gosling's I'm Just Ken?
I loved it. Honestly, when I watched that performance, I was like, I wouldn't be that mad if it won the Oscar after that. Sorry.
I just like when like movie stars get to do a little showbiz. So, like, I feel like they like all want to be a little theater kid deep in their hearts and like have like put it away.
Ryan Gosling was trained by the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. So he's got that dog in him. He's got that mouse in him.
He's got that mouse in him.
And he was incredible. The mic was on. Like, I would love it if he just did a couple years as a pop star. Like, I love him as a movie star, but I was like, wow, we're really missing out. He needs to be at least doing a number like that once a year at the show.
No, I'm ready for his Hugh Jackman arc. Like, mm-hmm. I'm ready for him to start starring in movie musicals and then go on Broadway. Wait,
can I say something crazy?
No, say it.
If they do a live action Hercules like they were talking about, Ryan Gosling could potentially be like really good in that role.
Can I say something even crazier?
Yeah.
He absolutely needs to play that role.
Oh my God. I was literally last night, like, I was talking to my friend Isaiah and I was like, I wonder who they should cast for the live action Hercules, because I'm almost positive that that's happening. Like, I've definitely seen.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely happening.
But now I'm like, oh, Ryan Gosling would be incredible. He's a golden boy. He's beautiful.
Is he a little too old?
He might be a little too old, but they could make him look younger.
I think there's been a problem in a lot of movie musicals. Right, where they've cast people that are too old.
No, that's such a good point.
Because I was also thinking when they eventually do Legally Blonde, the musical, the movie, which they should, he could be a really good Warner.
Oh my God, he could.
He'd be so good. Him singing Serious? That would be so good.
Serious. No, we really missed out because he could have had like this really like amazing musical movie career. He would have.
What I'm saying is they should have done it 10 years ago. They should have had Ryan Gosling as Warner and they should have had James Marsden as Emmett.
I love James Marsden.
He's so beautiful. He's like one of my biggest crushes. Every time I look at his face, I'm like, I just want to smush it. So cute.
Whoa.
Sorry, I really have a huge crush. I've always
had a crush on him. No, he's a beautiful man. He's a beautiful man.
He's got those fucking dimples. I'm like, God damn it.
I think he should have had a lot of what Chris Pine had.
He should have had everything that Chris Pine had.
Wait, was James Marsden also in the Into the Woods movie musical?
Yes, he was, and he was very good. And he was obviously Enchanted.
Right. He was so good in that.
He's such a star.
Yeah, he's a star. Who's the other guy that was in Ella Enchanted? He could have done more, I feel. He had like the curly hair.
Who is that?
Let me look
it up. Josh something?
Josh?
I said Josh.
Oh.
Yeah, Josh, you know, the famous actor.
Ella Enchanted is so good.
So good.
Oh, Hugh Dancy.
Okay, I was really far off.
He doesn't he doesn't look the same anymore. He is 48 now. But he was
I do feel like he's also British and British men age like badly.
Faster, yeah. Yeah, because he was also in Confessions of a Shopaholic, that movie. He was great in those movies, yeah. But anyway, point is, Ryan Gosling, I think if they had been casting him in movie musicals would have taken off better. They wouldn't have disappointed people.
Yeah.
The way that maybe they have a little bit.
A little bit, sometimes. But, you know, I'm always a fan of a little movie musical.
What could we cast Ryan Gosling in that would be age appropriate? Like,
what's a good hunky leading man like, musical, you know? Like, what would make
like
him
an adult man?
Where he's like, ooh, he's like a sexy adult man, you know?
Right, right. I'm kind of blanking on musicals here.
I am too. I truly cannot think of a single musical that's ever been done that hasn't already been a movie. I'm only thinking of musicals that have been movies.
No, my brain was like, Oklahoma? No one wants to see that.
I would like to see it.
Yeah, well, that's our plea, I guess, to the world about...
Please do that.
Ryan Gosling. He's just so charismatic.
He's so charismatic. And, you know, he just wants to dance. It's like what I always said about Hugh Jackman. Like, they made him be Wolverine and they made him do all this, like, eat like a single almond a day and like not drink water and like be Wolverine. He just wanted to dance. He just wanted to be a little dancing man.
I know. There was like a funny tweet. Wait, it might have been your tweet.
It was probably my tweet because like I feel so strongly about this.
It was your tweet, and I do have your notifications on, and that of course I saw it. You said something like, "I love that this reminds me how all of these famous movie stars were just theater kids at one point,
and yep, just little losers like just like me."
Well, that's so funny because I just saw, I don't know if you've seen the viral Timothée Chalamet videos from his like high school days.
Oh yeah.
The one where he's singing statistics.
Doesn't it make you feel a little more human about them? They're like, they were people once. Although I do think like celebrities are so weird, like once they really become celebrities, because like your life is so weird. I bet you would just like never be like, you know, John Mulaney does this thing where he's like, oh, people would ask me when I worked at SNL and I would work with like the musical hosts and like the guests and stuff, like, oh, was so-and-so nice? And he's like, well, they're nice in their world, but like for like a normal person, they're not nice, because if you could go Diet Coke and someone would just hand you a Diet Coke at any time, you'd be a crazy person, you know?
Oh, that's so interesting. Yeah. I feel like there have been a lot of comments about that with the if people are accepting their awards on stage and they don't hug all of the presenters. And it's hard because I'm like, that does feel rude, but I don't know.
It's also like your moment and you're overwhelmed and you're in front of the whole world and like,
and they're going to start playing the music soon.
Yeah, and you only have so long.
Yeah, I don't know, because it does feel rude, but I don't want to like assume that it was intentional. You know what I mean. The Robert Downey Jr. one did bother me a little bit, I will say.
He's a weird guy.
Yeah, and
he's
that
a
would
a weird guy.
Yeah.
I know that people like thought it was sweet, but I wouldn't want my husband to call me a veterinarian.
Oh, but he did say thank you for loving me back to life, and I thought that was beautiful. Really sweet. I thought that was
like
really
the veterinarian
sweet
line.
I know, but that's more just about like himself. Like he's just saying like you take like,
yeah, I'm a rabid dog and you made me a man. I'm like, okay, that's sweet, I guess. And I also liked that they had the former winners present to the new winners. It's cute.
It was cute.
I know people like the clips, but I like when they do that. And they gave little speeches. It was a little masturbatory, but it was really cute. And I was like, oh my God, like they're all friends and they love each other.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of sweet. Since we don't have like a ton of time, should we also just quickly talk about the Kate Middleton thing?
Let's just gloss over it. Let's just sort of just like say I'm a little concerned. I'm very concerned about Kate Middleton. I wasn't even going to bring this up because I thought people were just being goofy about it. But now I'm a little convinced
she's
dead.
Up until like 2 hours ago, this wasn't on the list of things for us to talk about, because we did give a nod to it last week. Mm-hmm. And you know, it didn't feel like there was that much to say, but so much has changed. And I have to say, we have conspiracies going in the group chat from like crazy to ones mostly from our friend Diane, who's actually makes sense, kind of like we're thinking, oh my God, is this defamatory for us to like,
no, we the theories that we have that are not at all true, we just
or based
think
in reality
this might be happening,
right? Yeah.
Is she might potentially be in rehab, maybe, or
right, like for exhaustion or something, and they don't want to admit that after Megan, or maybe like, what was the other one? She has like some kind of illness, but she doesn't look like herself, or she left him and she's at her parents' house.
Could be, or like after her surgery, she's just on a lot of steroids and her face is really puffed up and she doesn't want anyone to see her like that, which I'm like, fair, I wouldn't either. I'm not going to either.
Well, because like, why are they blaming her for the Photoshop?
It's so weird. Like, they're being really weird about the whole, like, they could have put this to bed very easily.
Right, just say like, sorry, she's ill right now, so we're not going to be taking any pictures for a while because she just doesn't feel like, she doesn't look well, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, it's, to me it doesn't sound that crazy. Now I do understand that the royal family has weirder specifics for how they want to present themselves, so maybe that's why, but this wouldn't be such a thing if they were just a little bit more normal.
Yeah, they're, it's sort of like, this is a weird comparison, but it's like when Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner were getting a divorce, and like every PR move that his team was making just made him look worse and worse. Like it was meant to make him look better.
That's actually a great comparison.
Yeah, it's like everything that's supposed to put this to bed is actually making it so much worse.
That was such a good comparison, because it's like,
thank you.
None of us were clocked in. We didn't care initially, but then they were
trying to drop us. We're American,
right? Then they were trying to drop these weird, like, blurred photos of her to make it better, and then they do one that's so obviously photoshopped that like various news outlets won't even share it. And if that's not a testament to how news outlets won't share information without proper vetting beforehand, I have to tell you that's interesting to me.
Yeah,
well, not
for sure.
Well, not, you know, not all news out, but like journalism specifically.
Are you saying fake news? Michaela's on her conservative arc.
No, that's not what I meant by
never,
that.
Never, never, never.
But I do feel like people think there aren't a lot of requirements before publishing articles about things like research-wise, because there are a lot of not real journalists, but like obviously real journalists
like
have to do a lot.
Place, like the AP, you know, they
right.
have to.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Hope she's okay. It's funny that they're like trying to blame it all on her, but then also kind of like soft launch the mistress.
That was weird. Also, did you know that word is pronounced Chumley?
Can you say it one more time?
Chumley.
Chumley. That's nice.
It's called, that sounds it's like spelled Chalamondly.
That would have been a really good last name for Neville in Harry Potter.
Neville Chumley.
Neville Chumley.
Wow. You're so right. Did you see the Harry Potter? This is the last thing I'm going to say, and then we can get into the important stuff. Did you see the actress that played Madame Sprout in Harry Potter?
Oh, I did
was
see
like,
that.
These fucking people are having weddings and like, move on. It was a thing for children. She's like, it's not right. You're not well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I get it. We all
people can like what they want to love.
Right. It's just a little funny. It's just a little funny.
It's a little funny that she was like, I'm shocked by it.
Wait, do you want to talk about your most recent discourse or no?
Oh, I will just say that last week I was disabled and this week I am ableist.
Yeah.
Which I'm loving. I'm sort of loving that. I like said I went nonverbal at the bar, and which I'm like, the word nonverbal, like, I understand it has a specific context within autism, but it's also a word that people use. Like, it's also very much a word that is, like, a word outside of that.
Well, and you're not neurotypical.
I'm also not neurotypical. And, like, it's just so interesting the way everyone's like, wow, this neurotypical. I'm like, and where did you get that information?
Also, if it's like really a problem, just explain why it is and how, instead of a weird vague comment about how you're a terrible person for saying it. You know what I mean?
Because I honestly am like, I know everyone in this comment section is 17 years old, so I'm not like really reacting to it, you know? But mm-hmm. at the same time, it's like, well, no, because because what do you think I meant by overwhelmed by the crowd? Do you think I was just having a grand old time because I said love? Like, where's our reading comprehension skills? Like, where's, like, the idea that people just say things sometimes?
I mean, you can go nonverbal from getting too high. Like, it's not just...
I have.
I mean, I do get that there are certain terminologies within mental illnesses that get mm-hmm. overused. And you know what, guys? Correct us if we're wrong, and that's fine.
Right.
But I feel like nonverbal is so exactly what it means, like non and verbal.
Speaking, nonverbal.
Right. It's just such a
like
exact.
Unable to speak. Like, you're
yeah.
Just...
What else should you have said? When I go quiet mode? When I
quiet
go silent mode? I guess you could say when I go silent
I could say silent mode, I suppose. But it's like, I just think it's a little silly. And I also think that the real problem that I have with this more than anything is that, like, I think there's this thing that the kids do, which I think is really interesting and a little weird, which is that they've almost done like a full 180 on the idea that, you know, you can be whoever you want to be, and you can have whatever, you can express your gender however you want, you can express your sexuality however you want, you can be proud of however your mental health manifests or whatever. And they've mm-hmm. done like sort of this whole 180 where they're like, and also you need to obsessively label that for everyone to know. And it's like, well no, I actually
right.
don't have to tell you about, I don't owe you an explanation of like my mental illness. I actually don't need to tell you that. And they just assume that if you don't have autistic in your bio or like, you know, that
yeah,
that you can't speak on things, which I think is weird.
I feel like that's been a thing for a while. I feel like there have been conversations that I want to be a part of because it's something that I've specifically experienced, but I'm not allowed to unless I start it with a sentence that describes the trauma that I've had that qualifies me to talk in that conversation. And it's like, not again to like use something that's not the exact same thing as an analogy, but it's sort of like when someone gets cast in a gay movie and then they're like, tell us if you're gay. And it's like,
They might be, but
they don't have to tell you. People shouldn't have to tell you their deepest, darkest secrets in order to just be in conversations. And that's not to say that there are people who should stay out of certain conversations. Like, that's absolutely a thing as well.
Certainly. But I think, like, we've gone so far past that to where it's like, and actually you're not allowed to speak on something unless you open up your vein and tell us, like, pour your blood out for us and tell us everything. And it's like, I actually, like, don't want to do that.
Right.
Yeah. You know? Like, I actually really don't think anybody is owed that information. It's honestly, truly very reminiscent of the situation from the other week where it's like, I actually don't owe you medical information.
Yeah.
At all. You know? Mm-hmm. So I just think that's a weird thing that the kids do. And it does bother me. And I'm not going to be like, and I'm actually going to defend myself on this tweet that I'm not neurotypical. But it's like, because I don't need to tell you that.
I don't owe you that. I don't owe you.
I do not owe you that. And you
could just. A therapist letter.
Yeah. Like maybe you could just have a little more good faith hope that people aren't just saying shit, you know?
Like, let me tell you, there are so many conversations on Twitter that are going on or that I'll scroll past and I'm like, oop, not my place to comment on that. All the time I am doing that and aware of that. And when there is something that I feel like, oh, I maybe have a personal opinion on this, I don't want to have to be like, this happened to me as well in the year of 2004 when I was X years old.
And here's proof.
It stuck with me. I know. Yeah.
It's just, it really is exhausting. And like, I don't always know how to articulate it. I don't want to be like, but I find it very strange.
I know. And I also just feel like, when things are actually harmful, you're not doing anyone any favors by just being mean about it. Like, if you want people to really genuinely change and, like, get your point, it's best to just try to explain why it matters and, like, where you're coming from. I don't get it. Like, I feel like this happens so much from younger woke people where it's like, I don't feel like your intention is actually to change anyone's mind. It's just to scold them. Like, do you actually care about change occurring, like changing people's minds and that happening out of this conversation?
No, it's team sports.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're either with us or against us. And if you were ever against us, you're never with us. And you weren't born having all the perfect terminology and opinions. Well, I was. And it's like, you weren't, though. And in 10 years, you're going to be like, oh my God, why did I behave that way? Or why did I say those things? You know?
And if you were, silly. I would seriously doubt your ability to empathize with other human beings because that's crazy.
No. It is a thing where it's like, I have to be a grown up here and not like yell at children.
But I'm like, is it really all children or like
we're just guessing? Like, I've clicked on a couple profiles and I'm like, they're like minors or they're like in college, and I'm like, I can't engage with you until your brain is developed fully.
Well, that'll be a while. Mine didn't happen until 25.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh my god. Well, I'm sorry that this has happened to you again.
Oh, it's okay. Twitter is so annoying.
And, you know, I will say I did see the other discourse, but this one I didn't actually see. So I don't think it's like actually a discourse, but more so just people maybe like scolding you in the reply section.
Totally.
So
the other one was like people were like coming in.
No, it was like,
accounts were just like tweeting about it. And I was like, oh no.
Let's move on, you guys, because there's actually a lot to talk about with our main topic this week. We're talking about religious trauma. We did have one individual recommend this to us in like January, I'd say. And then I had a conversation with my brother because my brother has a daughter and she's like 6 months old now. And they were discussing whether they wanted to raise her with any kind of religion. And my brother made a comment that was like, well, there's not really a downside to it. And then all of the women in the room were like, wait a minute. Which, because I do understand that. And I do want to talk about that a little bit. Because even after being religious, I for a long time thought, well, it's not like I think there was anything wrong with growing up religious. Like, it maybe taught me some moral things and XYZ. But I think after a while, when you look back and you really deconstruct it, you realize that a lot of issues that you have are actually from growing up with religion. So we're going to talk about that a little bit.
And I don't want to generalize, obviously.
Yeah.
But I do just want to point out, like, I don't have that kind of religious trauma at all. Because Jews, there's no concept of hell. There's no, like, you know, you're going to, God is watching you at every moment. And, like, that kind of guilt and shame that you internalize. There's definitely different types of trauma that they do inflict on us. But I don't really have that. So that's not something I can really relate to. But I'm very interested to hear about it.
You'll have much to say. And I will say that makes sense because out of every single submission we got, nobody mentioned that being from being Jewish. So,
no, I'll tell you what the trauma is that they indoctrinate you and tell you that everyone's trying to kill you all the time.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. And they show you like piles of emaciated bodies and they're like, the world is one step away from doing this to you at all times. And of course clearly we've seen the fallout from the way that they like scare Jewish children and make you grow up like that. But in terms of the other stuff, no, I don't have any shame like that.
No, and I think that that's an interesting part of the conversation as well. So I'll start with my upbringing because I feel like people don't actually think that I was ever religious.
No, you don't have religious vibes.
I don't, because it's been over 10 years. It's been over a decade since I ever was religious. But I actually, I hesitate to say super, super religious. I did go to a Christian private school for a year. I grew up at a church, well, not in a church, but like I grew up going to church and we were very involved with the church. My mom like worked with the outreach center. My dad worked with small groups in the church for men. My best friend was the pastor's daughter. Whoa. And then I went to religious summer camps. I went to youth group. So I was fairly, but I wasn't like going really to stuff during the week so much. It was more of like a Sunday thing. So I don't know where that falls on like the level of religious intensity.
Yeah.
I will say the 1 year that I went to a Christian private school is the only year of my childhood where I was actually bullied. And it wasn't like that bad. I mean, I did come home crying a lot of days, but it wasn't like that. But it was because I had moved to Massachusetts from Texas. And I guess everyone like, they just kind of joked that I was stupid and an idiot. Yeah. And they were like, why don't you talk like this? And like, it doesn't sound like that big of a deal now. But like as a child, it was really.
Of course, it was hard.
And I remember like being in my bed. It's one of the memories I have of that age, crying to my parents about like why everyone thinks I'm stupid. And I don't think I don't know if it was because it was a religious school, but the schools I went to after that, no one said anything about me being from Texas, which is weird because I feel like Texas was so religious. Mm-hmm. Also, one thing I will say is interesting is on my dad's side, everyone before my grandfather specifically was a pastor. I think in like the Lutheran church, the men were. And one of them, I think it was my great grandfather, cheated on his wife, who's my great grandmother, with one of the women in the church. And then my great grandmother set the church on fire and died in a church fire. So it's like in my blood, really. It's like.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
I stopped being religious probably my sophomore year of high school or something like that. But then I still went to youth group sometimes because the cool kids at my high school were religious. I had such a weird, like my high school was so weird because I was bullied by the theater kids and went to youth group to seem cool. And that doesn't make sense.
That does not make sense.
Like my best friend was a cheerleader, but she wasn't really cool. I don't know. It's just all really complicated. But we got a lot of really good submissions that I'm excited to talk about.
We did. But do you feel like in what ways did your religious upbringing, you don't have to get like too into it, obviously, but like the things that you feel like it's affected you or things like a voice in your head that you still hear today or, you know, those kinds of things?
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was reading a lot of these things for the episode, I started to think that maybe certain things I have, like my prudish nature and stuff like that, might actually be a little bit of that. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to get into it, but there were things that happened to me when I was very young that I thought I was going to go to hell for my entire life. And I remember staying up every night before I went to bed from the ages of 6 to 12 or 13, maybe, praying that I wouldn't go to hell and like apologizing for what had happened to me, like every night. And like, just like, I remember when I got to maybe middle school or high school, I would be like, oh my God, I haven't thought about that thing that happened to me in one day. Like, there was a whole day that I went without thinking about that thing, that maybe I'm getting over it. It's obviously like, not because I was religious that that happened to me, but because I was religious, it made it way harder to get over. To me, it doesn't make sense because they do teach you all you have to do is apologize for your sins and then you'll go to heaven and you won't go to hell. But then at the same time, they just teach you that you're a sinner. I don't know. It sort of feels like things can't be repented, even though that is the basic message, if that makes sense.
I guess the question I have, because I don't really know. From what I understand, isn't like Catholicism, like you just confess your sins to the priest and then you're sort of good? But then like, why do so many Catholics have so much guilt all the time?
Exactly. Well, we actually got a submission about that where someone said they had something in Catholic school where they had this punishment and it was supposed to be a lesson about how it's hard to wash sins away, even though the whole point is supposed to be that it's easy to wash your sins away. It's very confusing. They do say you can just apologize, but then they also say like you shouldn't have sex before you're married. You shouldn't get divorced. And so those feel like things where, but if I can just apologize and repent for it, then wouldn't I be forgiven? So then why are you saying it's such a...
I guess like, when you think about it from a mechanism of control, like beyond the religion of it, I guess you would want people to feel like, well, it's not like God hates you if you do those things, but you're going to go to hell forever. You know, it's like, so people really don't want to do them, you know, like they don't want you to feel like God's horrible and like super mean and whatever. But like, you do want to feel like, well, there are consequences, though, if you have actions.
Well, I remember when I was in college, I was approached by a group of, I think, either Christians or Catholics or Mormons, and they were trying to get me to convert, and I was just having conversation with them because I was kind of like interested, and they very genuinely asked me, if you don't have religion, then where do your morals come from? Like, they really didn't understand, because they've never experienced anything else, that if you don't have religion, you can still know right from wrong, or like not want to hurt people or not want to lie, which is very interesting, because I'm sure if they weren't religious, they would also too have morals, but they seem to think that you can't.
Right. The idea of like, well, I don't lie because God would be angry if I lied, versus I don't lie because it hurts people and I don't want to hurt people.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I had a friend tell me that when part of why she stopped being religious as like a kid is like, we grew up in a really Jewish community and she was, I don't know, whatever, like Lutheran or whatever, like Christian. Mm-hmm. And they told them in Sunday school, like, well, if you're not Christian, then you're going to burn in hell forever. And she was kind of like, but all my friends are Jewish, so I don't really know how that works out. And she immediately was like, I don't think I can square that. And so she stopped being religious, like, as a kid, because that was too much for her.
That's a question I asked when I was a kid, too. I was at a church camp, and I remember saying to the camp counselor, well, if you are, when you go to heaven, you're supposed to be perfectly happy and everything is incredible and you don't feel any sadness, what will you do if you realize someone you love isn't there? Yeah. Like, do I just not care about the people that I love anymore? Like, that doesn't matter to me because that doesn't feel good. And the counselor was sort of like, it's just hard to explain. And then I remember one time I texted a youth group pastor, like, did Adam and Eve's kids have sex? Because how did all the people get
how
born?
How did that happen? And that's one of those things I don't need to know.
I don't remember what they said, but I imagine that it's got to be interesting being a youth leader and having those conversations with children.
Because I think what's so hard about like religion and children is like children are so literal. Like children like don't really have a concept of you can teach them what a fable is, right? Like you can say like, this is the story of the tortoise and the hare, but children have a hard time with things like God, like,
yeah,
hell, you know, like, especially if you're telling them, no, this is literally true. Like they have a hard time understanding like, oh, it's a moral lesson. I'm trying to, you know, learn how to be a good person, as opposed to, no, this is a literal thing that's going to be painful and awful for you if you do not behave in the right way that they're telling you to behave. And like, that's like, scary.
That's one of the biggest issues with the Bible to me. I don't understand why they try to sell it as these events literally happened instead of being like, these are just yeah. good stories with a moral lesson within them.
Yeah.
Which yeah. would be fine. That's cool. But yeah, we got a lot of DMs and I want to start reading some of them because it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. How many of you had experiences like this? So one person said, on religious trauma, I literally barely do the solo deed because I'm convinced that bad things happen when I do. It started in college when I finally got some alone time and dot, dot, dot. And then I got 3 flat tires and a dead car battery in the same week. So now every time I, you know, I think God is mad at me and punishes me. And then I look for bad things that happen. I know this is crazy and I don't even believe in a God who would punish you anymore, but I can't help it. I'm terrified of bad things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot like this, I will
say,
also. That were
very similar to this.
Yeah.
And let me just say something. A lot of this stuff, it like, it gives OCD. That's like that a really a big huge part of OCD.
Yeah.
It's like this, like, a lot of like religious fear or feeling like yeah. God can like read your thoughts and you have to think a certain way. You have to pray and, you know, undo things that you thought and pray because of things you thought. And like,
I had that so badly yeah, growing up.
It's like really, really common.
I thought once, I hate you, Mom. And then I was praying profusely. I was like, oh my God, I don't mean that. I don't want anything bad to happen to my mom. I'm sorry. Like, don't be
honestly,
mad at me.
It's something I still struggle with. Like, I was not raised in a culture that prays like that, but I yeah. still did it because I was like, I'm pretty sure my brain can make bad things happen because that's like an OCD thing. You're like, I don't want to hurt people, so I'm gonna ask God to like undo what I just said, you know. So I just want to flag that.
Yeah,
there's
and that
like an
is...
obsessive thing like that where you have magical thinking that you think your thoughts can make things happen. Like, I know yeah. you don't literally think that, but like, it's a distortion. It's a thought distortion and it's very common in OCD and it's like normal. And it's like, sorry, I want to be really clear. You can have types of obsessive compulsive thinking without having obsessive compulsive disorder. A lot of people right. have one or two that they do and it's really common. So just flagging that.
Well, we got so many things like that of magical thinking or honestly, OCD-like traits that are just coming because of religious trauma, which is interesting because I guess it's yes. something that's been drilled in their heads for so long that it just manifests
in that
a disorder
way.
Okay, so I wasn't religious growing up. However, I did live in Colorado and had a lot of Mormon friends. When I was a freshman in high school, one of those friends invited me to be on her church's volleyball team. After a few practices, I was called into the bishop's office. He sat me down and told me he was visited by God and God sent him a message. The message was that it wasn't God's plan for me to play volleyball anymore. So maybe not exactly traumatic, but it has stuck with me for 11 years now.
God thinks you're a shitty volleyball player.
I just have to throw that one in because that is so like
that's
low
really
stakes
funny.
And hilarious. God sent me a message and you shouldn't play it. Like, come on, we're
come
leaving
on.
These people with our kids. Imagine how mad the conservatives would be if a gay person told a high school football player, like, I got a message from the spirits and the spirits said that you're not
you
supposed to be
playing
football anymore.
This one is super interesting to me. When I was like 15, my parents went to a retreat and came back changed and extremely religious, and they started wanting to go to church weekdays and Sundays. So they forced me and my siblings to go with them on a weekday, and then all of a sudden, people started fainting, and I go to my parents all scared that someone just fainted, and they're all calm, and I'm freaking out, and people start crying, like wailing and fainting, and then all the people that haven't fainted yet, the pastor or priest, I don't know the difference, starts going around the room touching people's foreheads, and then they start fainting, And he comes to me and my sister and he's pushing our foreheads to faint. And like, we're so confused. And then basically everyone is on the floor except me and my sister. And I'm still traumatized. I asked my other sibling why they were crying and why they fainted. And they just said, because they felt God. I don't know. I still think about that. My parents could have warned us.
This is so funny because people talk about like when you go to the church camp and everyone has that night where they make you all sob and feel the power of God. And I had that night and I didn't know it was a thing. I literally, like, we just were singing these Christian songs and one person started sobbing and then someone else started sobbing and someone does like a confession and then everyone is just like wailing. It was crazy. And I was like, we just felt the spirit of God. But what did we really feel?
Right now. I'm so scared right now. I think maybe you felt human connection. I don't know. There was like a thing at my high school. I think it's like a national thing. I don't know if it was just like at our high school, but like there was this retreat that kids would go on called Kairos. Mm-hmm. It was like that. It was like everyone just shared their like deepest trauma and then people became really weird and religious after that. Like really, really weird. And the teachers wouldn't let us make fun of it because they were also like kind of down for it. My mom did not let me go on it. I wanted to go on it. Thank God I didn't.
I'm so glad you didn't go. And that was affiliated with your public school?
No, but it was like affiliated with the church that like a lot of people went to if they were a Christian. And so it was like a program they would like recruit at school and stuff. It was weird.
Okay, so basically to share my story, I was brought up strictly religious in this church called Victory Outreach. They have churches all over. Basically, you couldn't dress a certain way, talk a certain way, because you'd be labeled and gossiped about. Well, I got deep into it, and my parents paid to send me to a Bible college through the church, which was really just free labor, because they had you do things like cleaning the house, mind you, a four-story house in Chicago, until 1 to 2 a.m. There were things called discipline, where if you did something wrong, they would make you scrub the floors with a small toothbrush while preaching played over the radio, and you weren't allowed to stop until the staff came back to get you. Most of the time they would wait till everyone was going to bed to get you out of bed and tell you that you had discipline, and then they would go to bed and not come back till 3 a.m. to tell you you could go to sleep, and everyone had to be up at 5 a.m. for prayer regardless. This and you pay to go for that.
That's crazy. That reminds me of like the Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey, like that documentary. Yeah. Where they would send girls to that like house with that guy.
Yeah. We did get a lot of DMs of like just sort of the vibe of the male youth pastor having inappropriate conversations with the kids, which I'll wait until we get to those submissions to get into it a little bit more. But this is crazy because this is like, I never personally went on a church outreach thing, but both of my siblings did, where they just like went to build houses and stuff, which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing. But the ones that like, are bad is when they make you, when they go to a country and make people convert.
Mission trips.
In order to give them food. They're like, we will give you food if you leave behind everything you believe in.
Yeah, it's really weird. I just feel like if you're really religious, like, don't you ever go to your... I mean, I'm not... Sorry, it sounds like I'm, like, victim blaming. But I'm like, how do you, like, get to that house and be like, this makes sense. This has to do with religion. Like, cleaning and religion. Like, they make sense together. Oh, because it's just, like...
Because it's, like, doing things for other people. Like, servitude, basically. Like, there's so much in the New Testament. Yeah, about, like, being humble and, like, washing Jesus' feet. And, like, I don't know... There's not so much of that in the Bible, but there is stuff in the Bible about that, yeah. Well, and then, like, Jesus washed people's feet, too.
What?
I don't know if that's directly the reason, but there are a lot of themes of just, like, getting on your knees and, like, being...
people's feet?
I think to show his how humble he is.
Oh, like, I'm lowering myself?
Yeah.
And, like, humbling myself? Okay. I was like,
yeah, it's
what?
Supposed to be this, like...
Why?
Wow, he's God, but he'll do these things. You know what I mean? So none of us should have that much of an ego. That. Yeah.
See, and, like, that's not a bad lesson, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like you shouldn't have to clean a house with a toothbrush at 3 in the morning.
No, and I... Yeah.
Call me crazy.
No, and you shouldn't have to pay to do it.
So sort of certainly not. This one says, our youth group had a modest is hottest fashion show and called up girls who were dressed modestly to model and pointed out what was wrong with the rest of our outfits in front of the boys. LOL, so cute and quirky.
Okay, this touches on like a big theme that I wanted to discuss.
Oh my God.
The way that they raise women is so setting you up to be like a victim of something and blame yourself. Like, it's so gross. And they do this in front of the boys. Like, are you crazy? I had a friend in high school who, like, I met before I stopped being religious, but continued to be friends with. And she would always make comments to me about Modest is Hottest. Even, like, after I had gone away to college, she would, like, text me about my Instagram photos and be like, so happy you're doing well, but I just want to remind you, girl, like, Modest is Hottest and you look great, but you want people to respect you, right? No. Crazy shit like that. I just feel like it puts so much on young girls and women's shoulders of, like, it's my responsibility if anything ever happens to me. And, like, not even just assault, but, like, not being respected, I guess. Like, respect isn't a basic right that you should have no matter what you dress like.
Yeah, and isn't there a line in the, and correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, but isn't there a thing, like, if a man is being lecherous, you should poke his eye out?
Yes!
That's, like, a part of the Bible, but instead it's, like, we've somehow translated it to it's women's fault if a man is, like, if he strays or whatever.
Yeah, that's absolutely a theme. And also, like,
teaching that
Jesus
to, like, little babies is crazy.
Yeah, and Jesus goes and is kind to the prostitutes and is friends with everybody and respects them all. I don't know. It's very interesting. And this goes back to, like, how we started the conversation of, they say you can just say sorry and you won't go to hell anymore. There's so many contradictions in the way that they'll give you a sentence that's from the Bible, but then they'll sort of instill this feeling in you that kind of just goes against it.
Yeah.
This one's interesting and also a big topic that people wanted us to talk about. Hi, girls. Saw your story about discussing religious trauma and wanted to suggest talking about the pervasive / persistent feeling of God watching your every action and never truly feeling like you're alone and in peace. I'm a grown woman who's not practiced Catholicism in well over a decade, and I still feel like there's always someone judging / spying on me through the peephole of my own mind. Yeah, that one we got a lot of, like, not feeling like you ever are actually alone and can do things and not be judged for them. Which is so, especially when you want to have sex.
Especially as a child, like, having privacy is so important. Yeah. Like, a child having a sense of identity and privacy and, like, having a room where they can, like, be alone. Like, these are really important things for child development. So I imagine that's really tough, like, feeling like you're constantly being watched in that way.
And exhausting. Like, to constantly be performing, and vigilant in a sense. Like, that's takes so much out of you. I would be very depressed.
Okay, so this one says, on my first day of high school, my mom kicked my dad out. Contrary to most divorced kids, I was thrilled as my mom and I had been on the receiving end of his physical and emotional abuse since I was 6. I'm very sorry to hear that. The following Sunday, our pastor asked our family to meet in his office after the service. I assumed he was going to offer assistance as my mom navigated her new life as a single parent. Wrong. My mom and I sat there as we were berated for disobeying God by dishonoring the husband father of our household. Not that it matters, but my father never held a job for more than 6 months, and my mother was the sole provider and parent even before the divorce. He told her if she didn't take him back, she was no longer a Christian, and we were no longer welcome. We are still spiritual people, but now recognize that modern religion is a set of rules and a sales pitch. To me, being a good Christian is being a good person and accepting of others regardless of their beliefs.
Why am I actually going to cry?
I know, that I'm literally tearing up.
It's so hard already to leave and to be told that, like, not only will you be punished in this life, but for all eternity if you don't take back that man who abuses you. Who and it's you, such a common thing. Not even a one-off story. That happens all the time. And I do appreciate what they said at the end, because I don't want this episode to come off like, we think all religion is bad and all it gives you is trauma and there's nothing good in religion. Because I absolutely do think
I'm religious. Like, you know, I think there's a beautiful thing. I mean, I've mentioned my older brother before, but, like, part of how we knew he was really starting to find his way finally was, like, he converted to Catholicism. He started going to church. Like, he found a community of people that made him feel, like, accepted and loved. Like, religion can be a really, really powerful and important thing in people's lives, and I don't want it to sound like we're, like, and if you're religious, you're just traumatized and you don't know it. And necessarily like that, but I think that there's certain churches or certain pastors or whatever, like,
Yeah, I think you have to be so careful. You have to be so careful. And it's hard because there are going to be people teaching your children in rooms where you're not in the room. And you have to be very careful about what community exactly you're finding. And then having conversations with your children at home of like, by the way, these things aren't your fault. If anyone ever tells you XYZ, come to me and we'll have a conversation about it. And having those like follow-up conversations with your kids, I think that's really important. Oh, this one is so funny to me. Okay, the time my Catholic school 8th grade class went on a field trip to the state capitol building, and at the end of the day, they were like, we're gonna go stand on the steps outside for a presentation, and it was a pro-life rally. Slay!
No!
Can I say multiple people have said this, and I had I didn't know this was a thing, and now it's so funny to think that when there are pro-life rallies and you see children there and the news stations are like, these children are like so brave and they're so sad about, you know, babies being killed. It's like they're just forced to be there by their teachers.
They were told there was ice cream. Like, they didn't know. Wait. Oh, no.
Also, that's such a fucked up thing to say to kids. Like, people are killing their babies, by the way. There are all these people in the world that kill their babies.
Again, children are very literal. Like,
I know.
That's a crazy thing to say to a baby. I know you wanted to talk about this specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll read this one. This one says, religious trauma, 3 exclamation points. In high school, my male youth group leader, who I really admired, sat the high school cohort of mixed gender participants down and told us about how when he was our age, he was addicted to pornography. And he had to do a lot of work to get over that pornography. And now that he's married, he regrets his past addictions because he has pornographic images in his mind when he's trying to be intimate with his wife in a godly way. And then he told us to save our virginity for marriage because it makes being with his wife so much better and so much more special. But like, how does he know if it's better or special if he had never fucked before? Anyway,
can I say I had a convo like this too with the youth pastor? I was at my church camp.
You did?
Yeah, and the youth pastor was like talking about that, and then he said, we've brought in a science expert. And then this science expert goes, it is biologically a fact that when you have sex with someone, your body releases these chemicals that connect you to them emotionally and spiritually. And you only want to do that with one person. Otherwise, your body will be confused about all of the connections that it has. And when I tell you, high school me was sold on that. I was like, my God.
That makes sense.
That makes so much sense. They're giving us so much science to back this up. I really need to be thinking about that.
No.
But isn't that so inappropriate?
Your brain does release oxytocin, but not like
it's not that
only
big of
one
a deal.
Time.
Like,
oh no! Oh how? Oh, it is like a funny,
not a funny ha ha,
but like a funny thing to like grow up and look back on interactions you had with adults when you were a child and go,
yeah.
That was inappropriate.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Were you talking to me about that as a child? Because you just don't realize it as a kid that it's really inappropriate for an adult to be talking to you about sex or sexual things.
And it's so interesting because these are the people who are in the conservative movement who, like Libs of TikTok was saying, there shouldn't be any
right.
sex education in schools. There should be abstinence-only sex education in schools. And it's like,
no.
Do you know what the youth group pastors are talking about with your kids? They're talking about pornography. They're talking about being addicted to porn. And I'm not saying it's like... I'm not saying it's bad to have conversations with young people about porn and like the dangers of it, I guess. But the way that this came across was very inappropriate. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's something about it that makes my skin crawl. Like, why? Like, you're essentially talking to children about how you could not stop jacking off to like
right.
pornography. Like, that's inappropriate.
Yeah, talking about your personal experience with it with like these kids who kind of idolize you and like have relationships with you is so odd compared to just being like, by the way, in an unconnected to me way, porn exists and like
right.
watch out for XYZ. I'm not an educator. I don't know what good conversations
you could
have.
Yeah, I don't know what they're telling the kids these days about porn, but I know that you should not be talking about your masturbation habits with children.
And I would say that I can strongly stand behind that statement.
I strongly stand behind that. I even had a teacher, this is not religious trauma at all, but like I had a teacher who would like tell us about her sex life and like heavily implied that the guy she was dating had like a huge dick. And I was like, I'm 15.
What the fuck?
Isn't that crazy?
That's so inappropriate. No, that really is so inappropriate.
No, I know it's really inappropriate. And one time she said to me unprompted, look, you're getting a little older now. I just want you to know that the herp is forever. Okay, so just be careful. Be careful. I haven't even kissed a boy. What I'm 16 years old at this time.
Oh my god.
Also, the herpes has come a long ways. Why are you saying this to me? I'm a child.
We are like starting to run out of time, so I will say there are plenty of things that like we're not touching on that could be touched on because it's just such a vast topic, but we will read just like a couple more little submissions. There was one girl who said, purity night when they made us paint diamonds black and said, if we have sex, we are dirty. Love that. That's so fun. My grandma told me if I didn't believe in God, I'd never see my dead mom again. Oh. Also being groomed by men at church, which happened to me, XO.
Oh my God.
And then, yeah, someone said the tie between religion and OCD intrusive thoughts. How so many youth groups use tactics to manipulate participants into sharing trauma. Being queer, you know, of course.
I'm sure.
Just being gay in general. Oh my
Just
God, I had...
sort of being, yeah.
Did I share this story? I don't... Let me know if I already did. But when I was at one of my youth group retreats, I had a bunch of my friends there, and one of them was my gay friend, gay male friend, and he was like the only person who was really out at our school. And this girl was like, just so you know, it's okay that you're gay. I've fingered myself, but I've apologized for it.
What? Is she implying that fingering yourself makes you gay? If that's true, I am very gay.
No, she's just saying it's a sin.
Oh,
she's just like, I'm a sinner. I've sinned also.
I'm a sinner too.
I've sinned like your gayness has. And
yes, we
you
are
know,
equally sinners.
Just
in
like
that
so you
way.
Don't feel like the only sinner here.
Oh my God.
Gay boy.
Oh, yay, yay.
Yeah, that's fun. You know, there's the purity rings, of course.
All Remember when the Jonas Brothers had purity rings?
That's always my first thought when I hear the
Me
words
too.
Purity rings. I
Me
always
too.
Think of the Jonas Brothers.
That was so weird.
I never had a purity ring. Although I did sign a contract when I was in elementary school about like not having a boyfriend until I was like 21 years old.
What?
Yeah.
Is that common?
I don't know. I honestly didn't even remember that. And then I found it in my childhood things. And it was like a list of things that I was agreeing to, and then I like signed it at the end.
I genuinely
like in
don't
crayon,
think,
probably.
Like, I don't think anybody at Hebrew school or like at congregation, whatever, like ever even mentioned sex.
Yeah,
like ever. Like that was just never something that anyone ever said to me. I had no feelings about it either way when I was a kid.
Yeah, I will say when I was a kid, I don't think when I signed that they used the word sex. I think they did like boyfriend, girlfriend, like that kind of language on the contract. Yeah. But I was probably like 7 years old. And mind you,
that's kind of like those like daddy-daughter dances where they're like, and make a promise to your dad that you're not going to lose your virginity. And the kid's like seven.
Well, and if you're a kid who's hearing all of these things and it's like already too late, like it really fucks you up.
Yeah.
And I do want to reiterate, I don't think it's all negative with religion. I, you know, we've been there. It's not all bad. I don't ever want it to come across that way because I really am a believer that there is good in religion, but I also, you know, just want people to be careful with the organizations that they associate with, like just because it is the local church and it's the only option, it maybe wouldn't be better than not going to church if it's not a great one.
Yeah. And if you are somebody who is struggling with these feelings of like shame and guilt, and maybe you haven't named it before or like didn't connect that it was might be from your religious upbringing or something, like clearly you're not alone, and there's definitely a lot of resources of people who have worked through it. And I'm sure we'll help you if that's something you want to do. But living with shame is like so like painful. So like, I don't know.
Well, it's crazy to me to like think about those things and be like, I kind of just thought I was like that, but maybe part of those things actually are from signing a contract when I was 7 years old.
Well, that's why it's internalized, because you like really consider it part. It's like learning how to separate your feelings from yourself. Like it's it's just something that you might not ever think to do if no one ever tells you that like your feelings are just, or your thoughts are just thoughts. Like your thoughts aren't you. Your thoughts are just thoughts. And like, you know, you might be having a feeling and that doesn't mean you are bad, even if you feel bad, you know?
Yeah. Very interesting. If you guys have any follow-up conversations that you would like to have, send us a DM. If there's anything important that you feel we missed, we certainly can spend a little bit more time on it in a future episode. So we're happy to do that. And thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing your stories with us. We weren't able to use them all because obviously this episode is already going super long, but they were all important and we read them all, and we appreciate you feeling comfortable enough to tell us about your experiences.
Yeah, we love you.
We wanted to shout out our birthday pigs. We won't be doing a tarot card this week, but if you go to our bonus episodes, you can get one at patreon.com/latenightdrivepod. We've got Zachary, Georgia, Biscuits, Flower Pig, Nathan, Maya, Katie, Curtis. I mixed up the order that time just to be crazy.
No, I loved that, actually. I was going to say, yeah, we love you guys very much. If you want to be a birthday pig, you can join our Patreon, as Michaela said, and we would love to have you there for some bonus episodes, some fun girly chat. Yeah, but we love you, and we love you a little extra this week. We love you so very much.
I'm feeling that too. I feel a little bit of extra love this week as well.
Yeah, and like, you know, if this was a tough conversation, you know, we love you.
Yeah.
And it'll be okay. You know, the wheels on the bus
just go round and round.
They're going to go round and round. So we love you guys so, 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 so much. As always, have a good day. Have a good night wherever you are, whatever you're doing. We hope it is a great one. And we will catch you on our very next drive.
Thank you for coming to Late Night Drive. We hope you enjoy the drive. Ooh.
Yay. Late Night Drive with Ellie and Michaela is brought to you by BetterHelp. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/LND today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/LND.